Appreciate the prayer and ask a continued interest in your prayers this morning. Seems like my mind has just stayed right in the same general area that we've been speaking from for several weeks. So if you'd like to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, that's where we'll start. We'll go to many other scriptures, Lord willing. But as we were speaking last week, I felt a particular impression on one particular passage that we dealt with, and it hasn't left me. And so when Paul admonished Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that God hath not given us the spirit of fear. You know, the devil loves to cause us to fear. The devil loves to warn us or to remind us of things in our past and things that might happen that may never happen. The devil just strikes fear in our hearts many times, doesn't he? Now, we need to meet that in the proper way, or we're going to be gripped by that fear. Fear is debilitating, isn't it? It just weakens you. Just causes you just to not have any strength, not have any confidence. It's just, when that grips you, you're not able to live the kind of Christian life that you should. So we need to do what the scripture says so that we can keep ourselves from being affected in that way. And so Paul writes to Timothy saying, God hath not given us a spirit of fear. So if you're feeling a spirit of fear, where's it coming from? It's not coming from the Lord. It's not a blessing from God. It's something else. He's not given us a spirit of fear. Well, what has he given us? He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Oh, don't we need some sound minds today? Don't we need the effects of God's love today? Don't we need the power that he gives to us? We don't have any power of our own, but we need the power from the Lord. All right? So he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. If the Lord would help us this morning, I want to deal primarily with the power. I don't know if we'll spend any time going into these other things in the weeks to come. We'll wait until that time comes. But the power. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. You know, when the devil is affecting us and tempting us and causing us to think the way we shouldn't, that fear that grips us, you know, he's a formidable foe, isn't he? He has some power. And we need to be aware of that, and we need not to be ignorant of his devices, but we need to remember the power that we have in the Lord. We need to remember that victory that we have in Jesus. We need to remember the faith that he's given us. We need to remember the salvation that we have in God and that love that nothing can separate us from. That's what we need to remember. When we're feeling fear gripping us, we need to flee to the Lord and find refuge in him and remember the things that we already know of how wonderful, how glorious, how powerful he is, how much he loves us, what he has already done for us, how that we're eternally secure in him and nothing can ever separate us from his love. If we can remember that, we can do well in resisting the temptations of Satan. But remember, Peter said he's like a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may what? Devour. That's what he wants to do. He wants to destroy your life. But anybody that's heard me very long understands I love to couple that with 2 Chronicles 16:9. Where it says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Now, if we can remember that, we can remember that God is looking for an opportunity to bless his people to resist Satan. So the next time you feel that temptation, next time you feel fear gripping you, maybe you get some bad news, maybe something's not turning out the way you'd hoped it had, whatever the case might be, just flee to the Lord. And remember, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. And also remember 1 John 4:4, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Isn't that encouraging? Doesn't that lift your spirits when you feel cast down? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, this power. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Sometimes the word power in the scriptures means authority. Jesus said, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. He has all power. As a matter of fact, he has both. There's two main words, two main ideas conveyed with the idea of power in the scriptures. One is ability, inherent ability. And the other is authority. Well, Jesus has both of those, doesn't he? All power, he says. No matter what kind of power it is, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. All right? But when he's speaking here about, he's not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power. This is an ability. This is a strength. This is something that we need that we don't have of ourselves. God has given it to us, right? Now what he said? God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but power. He has given us power. Do we always use it?
Not like we're supposed to.
Right. Would it behoove us to understand a little bit more about how we can use this power?
Yes, sir.
If the Lord would bless us for a little while this morning, that's what we want to deal with. Laying hold. You know, elsewhere, and we'll get to some of those scriptures, Paul speaks about laying hold on eternal life. You don't have to go get it. We've already been given it. Right? In 2 Timothy chapter 1 there, verse 9, he says, according to the power of God, who hath saved us? He's already done that. Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. He has given us salvation. And so we think about, understand, he's given us eternal life. Paul admonishes us in this time world that as we go through each day, we need to lay hold upon it. Not that we can have it, he's given it to us. But we need to manifest the fact to others, and we need to experience it in our own lives that we have that power given unto us. Someone that's gripped with fear and struggling and debilitated in that way, they're not manifesting that power that God has given to us. They're not thinking the way they should. And if we're not thinking the way we should, then bless your hearts, we're not going to be doing like we should either. All right. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. If you keep reading there, Paul, after he's admonishing Timothy along these lines, he speaks of how that he's been called to be a preacher of the gospel and that he intends to fulfill that calling not only of being a child of God, but also preaching the glorious gospel. And he says in verse 12 of this first chapter of 2 Timothy, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed. Didn't we speak a couple of weeks ago about not being ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, Paul said? But be a partaker. A partaker, not a spectator. Not sitting on the sidelines, be a partaker. All right? Paul is saying here of his great confidence in the Lord. He says, nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul was persuaded of something, that God was able to keep him. Isn't that a good thought for us to keep in mind? That no matter what we have to face in this life, God is able to keep us. He's got the power. He has the authority. He has the resources. He has the love. He has the will. He has everything he needs to take care of his children. Bless your hearts, he'll do that. And Paul was persuaded that God was able to keep that which I've committed unto him, he says. What do you suppose Paul had committed unto the Lord? Wouldn't you say it's his life? Wouldn't you say it's his very soul? See, men can take our life, but they can't take our soul. Our soul is safe in the blood of Jesus Christ. Having been redeemed from our sins, we will be in heaven. We will enjoy glory because of what Jesus has done for us. And Paul was persuaded that God is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Whatever day he needs it, whatever day of discouragement, whatever day of trial as he went about preaching the gospel and trying to be faithful to his calling, whatever it is that he needed, he was persuaded that God was able to keep him. I tell you, that drives away fear when you think about it. When you apply it to yourself, when you understand God loves you, he has the ability to take care of you, he has promised to never leave us nor forsake us, he'll be there for us. We just need to find refuge in him every day. He's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power. Power. Where's that power come from? The Lord. He said, Paul said, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Now, we've also spoken recently from 2 Peter chapter 1, where Peter admonishes us to add to your faith, what?
Virtue.
And that virtue there has a lot to do with courage. That virtue there has a lot to do really with when we have it and when we do the things that cause us to be strengthened in that, we have more power. We have more sense of his power that has been given to us. And we can walk in that every day and lay hold upon eternal life. All right? So, thinking about then what Peter said, add to your faith virtue. We're talking about a born again child of God who has the Spirit of God in him. And there's times when we feel that Spirit more than others, isn't there? There's times when we can walk in that Spirit better than other times. So it would behoove us, it's not God's fault, there's no variableness with him. He's not one way one day and another day the next. It's us who are variable. It's us who are changing. It's us who get distracted. It's us who get involved in things that takes us away from serving the Lord. And so the more we can focus on what he has given to us and what he's called us to do, add to your faith virtue, which is akin to this power that we're talking about here. It's something that the born again child of God has available to him, but we have to lay hold on it, don't we? All right? So when we think about, Peter tells us that. Now, that virtue, I think I mentioned last week, and I didn't dwell on it, I don't think, but I mentioned last week the Oxford English Dictionary that gives us the meaning of English words in the time when the Bible was translated in 1611. And it's interesting. Listen to this. I've written down this definition. That virtue that Peter talked about, that we talk about is courage, that we talk about enables us to remember the power that's been given to us. Listen, he says that that the dictionary says that that power, it's power, virtue is power, and the operative influence inherent in a supernatural or divine being. An operative influence. Translation, the Holy Spirit. The power of the Spirit of God working in us and for us. Isn't that wonderful that we have that? That we have the Spirit of God working in us and for us to lead us and guide us in the right way, to convict us when we start going astray, to whatever we need. The presence of God's Holy Spirit is there constantly. And the more we seek its influence, the stronger it is in our lives. So this virtue, it's the presence of God's Spirit, and the more we seek it, the more courageous and the more of His power we can feel. All right? But we have to lay hold upon it, don't we? We have to follow in that way where we continue to seek His help and His guidance. So laying hold upon it now is not some physical grasp or like we might grab an object and hold on to it. It's a spiritual grasping. It's a spiritual holding on to it. So oftentimes we're holding on to the things of this world when we need to be holding on to the Lord. And so may God help us to understand more, and what we're going to talk about in a little bit, how we can lay hold upon this eternal life that He's given us, that we might feel and that we might live the power that He's given us, because oftentimes we don't. Oftentimes our mind is on the things of this world, okay? This laying hold is a preparation of the heart. It's a transformation of the mind. Remember Romans 12? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed from within. The working of the Holy Spirit from within, working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? So you can see the need for things like prayer. You can see the need for things like regular reading of the Word of God, so that the Spirit can lead us and guide us into those things and open our heart and mind to those things. We need that in order to be able to lay hold upon what He's given unto us. So we find that there's a preparation. Remember, last week we talked about Daniel. Daniel purposed in his heart, right? He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's wine and the king's meat. He purposed in his heart. It didn't just happen by happenstance. It happened intentionally. Daniel set his mind and his heart to honor God. I would say he was laying hold upon what God had given him so that he could be faithful to the Lord. So we see that in transforming our mind and our heart. We see that in being faithful, an attitude of confidence in the Lord. Remember, Paul had such confidence? He was persuaded that God was able to keep that which he'd committed unto him against that day. Not only the days of trial, but in the day of in the end, at judgment time. Because Jesus has paid for our sins. Nothing can be laid to the charge of God's elect. That's where our confidence is, in the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work. And so faith in His blood, faith in His word, trusting that whatever we face in this life, God is with us. You know, it's awfully debilitating and causes great fear to think that God's left us alone. Because he's the only help we have. All right? Faith, trust, and hope. Hope. Isn't hope a wonderful thing? You know, we talk about our hope in Christ. And some folks that don't quite understand biblical hope thinks that, well, all you got's a wish that you're one of his. Oh, it's more than a wish. It's a whole lot more than a wish, isn't it? Because this comes from within. It's not something that hearing the gospel that our mind has decided that we're going to lay hold upon. It's something that's from within. Christ in you, the hope of glory, Paul said to the Colossian brethren. Christ in you. If you've got Christ in you, you've got the leadership of the Holy Spirit in you. Bless your heart, you've got a hope of glory. Not because of something you're going to do, but it's all wrapped up in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. What he has done for us, that's our hope. That's the basis of our hope. That's the substance of our hope. Bless your hearts, it's everything to us, isn't it? Our hope is in Christ. All right? We've talked about faith, trust, hope. Conforming, transforming our mind and our heart. Not conforming to the world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. I want to go now to several passages. So we may read a number of verses here for a little while. But I want to go to several passages that will help us to see, hopefully, how we can lay hold upon these things. There are scriptures which speaks of our laying hold on things. And so it will help us to understand how it is that we can lay hold upon this eternal life that we've been given. The laying hold of it is where our joy is going to come from. The laying hold upon it is where our confidence in the Lord is going to come from. Laying hold upon it is where that courage and valor is going to come, that virtue. Because it's what God's given to us. All right? I want to go, first of all, back to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. In Proverbs chapter 3, we're admonished to seek wisdom, all right? Verse 13, Proverbs 3, verse 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Now, obviously, the Lord finds us in regeneration. He gives us his Holy Spirit. But we're to seek him, aren't we? We're to seek after him, after fellowship with him, seek his word. All right, so happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it, the usefulness of wisdom, okay? For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain thereof than fine gold. You talk about some value here? The merchandise of wisdom and understanding in the things of God is better than silver and gold. All right? hang in there with me. She's more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Wisdom. The wisdom that's in God's word. Okay? Length of days. Listen to all the benefits here. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Listen to this now. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. Right? That's what the word says. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Wisdom and understanding in the Word of God. We need that in order to lay hold upon this eternal life and enjoy the blessings of walking in his favor, the blessings of having that assurance of our salvation, the blessings of all that we need in this life. Bless your hearts if we lay hold upon God's wisdom. Now, that's the admonition from Scripture. So let me ask you a question. How much have you laid hold upon God's wisdom this week? How much have you read and sought understanding of God's word this week? It makes a difference in how much we can lay hold upon those precious things that God has given to us. It makes a difference in how much we enjoy the salvation that is wrought in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's needful, brethren. It's needful that we be reading this word and seeking that wisdom on a daily basis to lay hold upon eternal life. All right? Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy, oh, by the way, back in Proverbs, when he was talking about laying hold upon that and the blessings when we do, if you go over, I won't take the time to turn to it, but if you go over to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 2, Solomon talks about all the things that he sought after. He applied his heart to know these things and experience these things. And he did all these things that, you know, I mean, he was the king. He was wealthy. Nothing was too expensive for him. He could experience anything he chose to do. And in the end of all that, I think it's down about verse 11 in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. He considered all these things and all the works of his hands. And he said it was vanity and vexation of spirit. Quite a difference, isn't there, between that and laying hold upon wisdom and enjoying the blessings that God has given to us and rejoicing in our understanding of what God has done for us. We need that so much to lay hold on this eternal life that God's given us. All right, now 1 Timothy chapter 6. Paul is admonishing Timothy to flee some things, especially when he speaks about the love of money is the root of all evil, which some coveted after, verse 10, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. That's not the path we want, is it? But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after. All right? Flee those things. But here's the things that we need to be embracing. Here's those things we need to follow after. He says, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Boy, you read that list and you look at those things and what you see is fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Applying ourselves to understand how it is that we're to live in this life to enjoy the blessings that God has for us. All right? Flee some things, he says, but follow after these. That fruit of the Spirit there. And there's other things, but that's what brings to mind. All right? Then there's several things that Paul says here leading up to the idea of laying hold on this eternal life. All right? Now, we establish the fact that sometimes we feel the presence of the Lord more than others. Sometimes we enjoy the blessings of the Lord more than others. And the variableness is in us, not in the Lord. And so these activities that we're pointing out here will help us to lay hold and enjoy the blessings that we can have in this life. Right? In verse 12, he says, fight the good fight of faith. Well, there's a lot of pressures against us, tempting us to go astray, isn't there, in this world? All kinds of things that work against us. It is a fight to fight the good fight of faith. But it's a good fight. There's plenty of conflict in the world that's not a good fight. Bless your hearts, what we're doing here is resisting and fighting for those things that are good. So that we can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It's a daily struggle, isn't it? Fight the good fight of faith. All right? He says, lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on it. Now you've got it, or you wouldn't have the desire to do these things. But we feel the effects of it at times more than others. And so these activities will help us to lay hold upon it, to think about it, have our mind transformed, have our trust in the Lord. All of those kinds of things. He says, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called. The calling is when this eternal life is given to us. All right? Whereunto thou art called. If you weren't called by the Spirit, and by the way, in this 2 Timothy chapter 1, we spoke about how that he called us with a holy calling. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he's given us the spirit of power. And it comes in that regeneration. It comes in that holy calling. It comes in the calling that we have from God, who calls us out of darkness, out of the things of this world, into his marvelous light. That we should show forth his praises. All right? Lay hold of eternal life, on eternal life, whereunto thou art called and have professed a good profession before men. let me drop down to verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Part of what we're talking about in laying hold upon eternal life is trusting. Where is our trust? Is it in the things of this world, or is it in the living God? He's the one who gives us this power. He's the one that's called us by his Spirit. He's the one that has saved us from our sins. To trust in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. It comes from him, doesn't it? He giveth it to us. Remember the psalmist said he daily loadeth us with benefits? Have you ever had a day when you didn't feel like you were blessed of the Lord? If you felt that way, your thinking was not in the right place. Because there is not a day, even if we have a day when nothing is manifested to us, which I don't think that can happen, but even if there's nothing discernible in us that we can see, we still have the work that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us and is securing us and preserving us unto his heavenly kingdom. Every day we have that. And so to lay hold upon it is to remember that and to rejoice in that and to thank God for it every day we live. Not to trust in uncertain riches. He says, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. All our blessings come for the sake of Christ, don't they? All right. He's not finished. Verse 18. That they do good. Now pause right there. You might be saying, well, preacher, we know that. We know we're supposed to do good. Okay. Good. Now, are we doing it? Are we applying ourselves to doing the good things that bring glory to God and are a blessing to someone else? Are we doing those things? You know, Jesus said, if you know these things, well, won't you be happy if you know them? Well, there's a measure of joy in knowing these things, but there's a real joy, there's a fullness of joy in doing those things, because there's an obedience and the Spirit will rejoice in that. So part of what Paul told Timothy to charge the brethren, that they do good. Simple, isn't it? But simply profound. In enabling you to lay hold on this eternal life. Because it's the Spirit of God working in us, leading us to do those things. And when we obey the leading of His Spirit, and when we do those things, there's an added blessing. And there is where the rejoicing is. Happy are ye if you do them. All right, that they do good, he says. That they be rich in good works. Rich in good works. Would you consider yourself rich in good works? I know our works come short. All the good things we try to do are tainted with our inabilities. Bless your hearts, if we're trying to do it for the glory of God, He'll bless it. He'll bless it. If you're doing it for His glory, that's the key. If we're doing it to please Him, if we're doing it because we want to honor Him, if we're doing it because we want others to see those good works but glorify our Father, not that we do it to be seen of men. You know, Jesus said, if you do that, you got your reward. But as we go about doing good, it glorifies your Father in heaven. And therein we rejoice. All right, so that they be rich in good works. Ready to distribute. You know, there's something interesting here. In the original Greek, and not that the English is not sufficient, but it's just an interesting thing. Ready, he says, ready to distribute. That phrase in the English is just one Greek word. Ready to distribute. So that's a thought. Ready to distribute. In other words, having a readiness to do these things. Paul over in Corinthians spoke about gathering, collecting for the saint, the poor saints, the collections. And he talks about how that Achaia was ready some time ago. A readiness. What that means is a presence of mind and a desire to do these things. A readiness. Is there in you a readiness looking for an opportunity to do good? Should be, shouldn't it? Because that's how we're going to honor the Lord. That's how we're going to lay hold upon this eternal life, is to have a readiness. Now, that readiness wouldn't be there if your whole focus is on the things of this world instead of pleasing the Lord. That readiness is just not going to be there. You're not going to be looking for opportunities to serve the Lord if all you're looking at is the things that you want to do and things that you want to accomplish and things that you want to be involved in. That readiness is not going to be there. It's going to be choked out. Remember in Matthew 13 when he speaks about the parable of the sower and the seed? And there was part of that seed that was, it fell among thorns. And those thorns are the riches and the cares and the pleasures of this world. And those things choke out the effect of the word. In other words, you're not going to be able to bear the kind of fruit you should because you're more focused on the things of this world. So, a ready, he says, being ready, do that they be rich in good works. Ready to distribute, a readiness. Let's see. I think that would fall under the heading of having our heart and mind transformed. Not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So that we've got our mind on the things that we should be thinking. And desiring and having a readiness to do the things that we should be doing so that we could be rich in good works. Ready to distribute, he says. And willing to communicate. having a readiness and then a willingness when the opportunities present themselves. This willingness, and again, this willing to communicate, that whole phrase is one Greek word, one thought here. Willing. In other words, it puts feet to the intent. How often, if we had a good intention? How often, if we said, you know, I was going to do that, but something came up. I was going to go see that person, and something came up. I was going to do that for that person, but something came up. How often have we had good intentions and didn't follow through? There may have been a readiness, but somehow we failed to communicate it. Somehow we failed to follow through and get it done. Well, does the Lord look upon that and say, well, that's okay, your heart was in the right place?
He wants us to do what we're supposed to do.
That's not what's blessed. Now, it's, you know, he does look upon the heart. He does know the intent, thoughts and intents of the heart. But it's when we follow through. Willing to communicate, willing to do that leading of the Spirit, willing to follow through and actually do that so that we can enjoy that blessing of that we find in the doing of it. If we know these things, happy are we if we do them. That's where the blessing's going to come. That's where the power is manifested. That's where we feel the Spirit working in us more when we follow through and do those things which we know is pleasing to Him. He blesses us in return. We just need to be trying to be a blessing to others. A readiness and a willingness to be a blessing to others. And it doesn't cost a lot of money, does it? It doesn't have to cost a lot of time. It doesn't have to cost a lot of effort. There are plenty of little things. And I tell you, I think I've said this a number of times, but it's amazing how big just a little effort, a little encouragement, an encouraging word, a phone call, a visit, a prayer, whatever it might be. It's amazing how much someone can be blessed from something seemingly so insignificant from us. But if there's a readiness and a willingness, there will be opportunities to lay hold on this eternal life. All right? He goes on. Now, if we're doing that, if we're faithful to follow the word now, and if we're exercising ourselves in these things, look what's going to happen. Verse 19. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. That's favor with the Lord. Now, you're not ever going to make the Lord indebted to you, but we can certainly lay up treasures in heaven. Now, what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, not to lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust are corrupt and thieves break through and steal. That'll happen here. But lay up treasures in heaven. Doing these things, laying hold upon eternal life, is a blessing to us, and we're laying up treasures in heaven. We enjoy God's favor. We can walk in fellowship and communion with His Holy Spirit. That Spirit of power that's working in us, both the will and to do of His good pleasure, we're following that leadership of that Spirit. We're doing those things. We're rich in good works. We're laying up treasures in heaven. And all the while, we're being blessed in the process. We're laying hold upon eternal life. One more passage. Hebrews chapter 6. We talked about this transforming the mind and the heart, talking about faith, talked about trusting God, talked about hope. Listen to what Paul says when he addresses hope in the book of Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews 6, let's see. I'll just begin in verse 15. What have we got here? Verse 15. And so after he, as Abraham, had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, that is the unchangeableness of his counsel, he confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, which by the way, those two things are the oath and his promise, okay, that by two immutable things in the which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. To lay hold upon the hope set before us. As we go through our day, as we follow the leadership of the Spirit, as we transform our mind by the renewing, have it transformed by the renewing of our mind, as we're doing all of these things, bless your hearts, it'll be even more evident that that hope that's set before us, we can lay hold upon it. That hope will be more precious. That hope will be stronger. We'll have more of that pilgrim perspective, that we're not just worldly minded, but we realize that this world's not our home. We're just here for a while. There are plenty of blessings to be enjoyed every day as we press into the kingdom of God, as we enjoy the blessings that he gives us each day, as we enjoy fellowship with his people, as we enjoy serving him each day. There are plenty of blessings for us to enjoy now, but it's nothing to be compared to what we have awaiting us in heaven's pure world.
Ain't that wonderful?
And we're to lay hold upon that hope that is set before us. How do we do that? By fleeing for refuge unto God. Realizing this world's not our home. That someday, you know, we're going to be passing from this life into our eternal home. And from time to time, we're reminded of it, aren't we? When our loved ones pass away. You know, I didn't used to think about it all that much. But I'm approaching 60 years old, real quickly. And somehow or another, my thinking has changed a little bit. When I think back of the years that I've lived and think probably there's more behind me than there is ahead of me in this world. And maybe you've had some of those same thoughts. Maybe you've had times when you realize that it's real evident to you that this world is not our home. And then one of our loved ones becomes sick or in a tragic accident and leaves this world. And if you're thinking about that hope that's set before us, then I know, you know, heaven cannot be any sweeter than it is right now. Can't be any better. But our perspective of it, every time one of our loved ones leaves this world and goes home to be with the Lord, in our mind, heaven's a little sweeter. Because more of what was precious to us in this world is no longer here. All we've got the memories, and aren't they precious? You know, I don't mind singing that song, Precious Memories, but it's not a good worship song, is it? It just speaks of our experience. Bless your hearts, the more those that we love and know and love in this world, the more they pass the scene of this life and go home to be with the Lord. And we know that the first person we want to see when we get there is our Lord, who loved us and gave himself for us, redeemed us from our sins, saved us from eternal hell. I tell you, that's why we'll be praising him in all eternity, for the glorious work that he did for us. But as an added blessing, we get to enjoy it with all the redeemed family of God. And more of that redeemed family of God is there instead of here whenever our loved ones pass away and go home to be with the Lord. Bless your hearts. Find some time to lay hold upon that hope that is set before us. Maintain a pilgrim perspective. Remember, bless your hearts, this world's not our home. There are plenty of things to enjoy here. God, you know, it's just amazing how God has blessed us in this world and in this life with family and friends and things to enjoy and places to see and all the variety of the colors of the flowers and the beauty of the heavens and all those kind of, you know, my goodness, there's a whole lot of things that God could have left out and we could have still made it in this world. But he made it a beautiful and a wonderful place. But he is far more wonderful and far more beautiful than anything in this world. Lay hold upon the hope that is set before. And when you do that, you're laying hold on eternal life. When you leave this place today, and when you start your week next week, I hope that you'll think about some of these things, but how we can spend more time laying hold upon the glory of what we have here, being a child of God, born of his Spirit, having his Spirit working in us, having the power of his Holy Spirit in us to encourage us, to lift us up when we're discouraged, to give us the strength to face temptations, to give us the strength to make it through our trials. Lay hold upon that. Keep it in the forefront of your mind and experience it. Trust in it and thank God for it, because he's not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. The more you think about these things, the more soundness you'll have in your mind. The more fearful you are, the less soundness you'll have in your thinking. May God help us to lay hold upon eternal life and lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. Because God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. May God bless you is our prayer.
Can't have it much better than we've got it right now, though, preacher man.
Amen.
This is close to him as you can get.
Amen.
Without being there, this is close as you can get.